Hei, du hører nå på en podcast fra Litteraturhuset I Trondheim.
Welcome to the House of Literature in Trondheim. Before we start, I want to do a little propaganda about or announcement about the current situation. And here at the House of Literature, we follow the national guidelines for infection control and ask our guests politely to do the same. So keep 1 meter distance from another and avoid crowding. You will find the doors this way and there, and the toilets are there and also there. Yeah. And as a part of the Migration Literature Week, we are very happy to have a public presentation on refugee literature for young adults, which is reflects research or a PhD research project, Young Refugee Literature Developing Sustainable Literacy in the EFL Classroom. The talk will explain the role of refugee literature in education and more broadly in society, a collective moment to learn and unlearn from a more inclusive dialogue and communication. How can refugee literature forge ethical discourse of respect, tolerance, and responsibility in the Norwegian classroom? And my guest for today is Stella. Stella is also a co-host for this festival, and she is a candidate in English literature at the Department of Teacher Education and NTNU. Her project, as I mentioned, is Young Adult Refugee Literature Developing Sustainable. Sorry, I had the music at the same time. And that's good. Yeah. The project is Young Refugee Literature, Developing Sustainable Literacy in the EFL Classroom. Stella originally came from Italy and has lived in Trondheim for the last 5 years. In her free time, Stella explores a sense of belonging through performing with an international improved theater group. So the word and the floor is yours, Stella. Thank you.
Now, yeah. Now, yes, my voice. Okay, thank you, Sukanwar, and good evening, everyone, and welcome to Migration Literature Week that is happening in Trondheim, and I am so happy to be here with you tonight, and before I start saying anything, I just want to publicly thank Gulabuddin Sukanwar, who's of course you knew, literature has been organizing literature for inclusion program in these years, celebrating cultures and literatures from different parts of the world, Spain. Eritrean culture and literature and Arabic culture and literature. So I think that this festival that we're here, that brings us all together, it's part of a path that started already some years ago, and there are subjects from Literature House, like Sukanwar and also Asia Mini, but also colleagues from NTNU, Hania Mushol, Libre Garcia Sarans, Olga Lehmann, also with Poetry Night, and Sofia Estafiu, and another friend and colleague, Amanda Fayen. And yeah, just there are people, some people I haven't mentioned, you know that you're in my mental list, so heart list. So I just want to thank you, everyone, because this is making this inclusion, the dialogue and spaces for learning together and from each other. And I'm happy to be here with you tonight. Sukanwar has introduced my project. I can just say briefly that it's about young adult refugee literature. And in the EFL classroom, in the English as a foreign language classroom, that was a very technical term. So I just want to give you a quick update on that. I'm not going to go into much technical details tonight with you, because I think we're all here to hear and talk, and later, I hope, after my talk, have a conversation about literature. So I'll keep it more general and focusing on some still ethical concepts that literature can propose to us. One important thing that I need also to mention is that when I started my PhD project, and even before starting, actually, I was having my interview, and I said, well, folks, if you want to hire me, if you want me to do this project, it has to be clear that I want to bring it to the community. Like, outside of university, I want to work. I knew already Sukanwar was working here with Literature for Inclusion, and there was a literature house, so I wanted to bring out of university. This is a project for teachers, but also for the community. I want to establish this dialogue, learn, and also unlearn by members of the community, refugee members of the community, and people who are open to dialogue. So when I talk about ethics in my project, I need to think about my position as a researcher. And so I think that this quote is great, because my project is about refugee representations, and bell hooks says to us that when we write about the experiences of a group to which we do not belong, we should think about the ethics of our actions, considering whether or not our work will be used to reinforce or perpetuate domination. So this is another fundamental aspect that I had to... I'm still considering, like, my project, and I'm not done yet. But so, like Sukanwar said, I am an immigrant myself. I've been here for 5 years, and I am from Italy, and I've been passionate about literature since I was a kid, and you can see me as a kid. But since then, many things happened, and they brought me here and to this project that investigates it's contemporary literature about refugees and by refugee authors, and to see how this literature can be used as a pedagogical tool in the classroom to teach English as a foreign language here in Norway. So, well, what is it that is important for me, like, or my motivation behind this is trying to see how this text propose a narrative and representations that can challenge mainstream ideas and structures and help us dismantle hostile discourses and narratives towards refugees. And I think when we talk about refugees, there's one name that must be mentioned, and she's Hannah Arendt. And as a Jewish refugee and also philosopher, one of the greatest philosophers in the in our history, she writes in this essay in the book Jewish Writing, the essay "We Refugees." She writes, in the first place, we don't want to be called refugees. We ourselves call each other newcomers or immigrants. So already, literature brings us to in contact with the language that is used in the text and like used to represent individuals and groups. And so that's why I'd like to to reflect all of us together about the role of literature and the issue of representation. And I'm gonna do it quoting Judith Butler. Literature and art give us ways of understanding the world precisely by suspending our belief in the everyday as it currently exists. In this sense, the imagination is essential to knowledge, not a distortion or illusion. I find this quote and these words interesting, stimulating, but also challenging, because when we talk about imagination and representation, we also need to consider who is representing whom, who is represented, whose voice we hear in the text. And these are questions that are open to me, like in my work, but I also invite people around me to think and hopefully have a conversation. So I'd love to maybe discuss this later. And also, Butler in another text, she talks about representation, saying that the history of this body is not fully narratable. So again, she poses the question, who can talk about whom and write? And so, yeah, this is an ethical question that I felt that it was necessary to explore with you tonight. But also, Homi Bhabha, a superstar for me. I had the pleasure to be in the same room with him. He's in, I don't know how to define him, like Homi Bhabha. He's just Homi Bhabha. And I had the pleasure to be listening to him in London last year. He was a guest speaker. He was a keynote speaker during Refugee Host International Conference, and he was talking about the figure of the refugee. But also, what I want to say now is that he writes another essay about the right to narrate, of course, because we're talking about literature, and these are concepts that, yeah, I made it clear. We need to consider, but also narrating, as he defines it, is a universal right to address and to be addressed. and be represented and receive respectful attention. Lots of quotes. Oh, no, now we move to other things. Okay, so when I was selecting the material for my project, I can just briefly say in my project I analyze the text, primary text, and then I collect data in the classroom with students. So, and we discuss the text together. But I can tell you more later if you're interested in this part. So as I, when I'm selecting the material, I take this responsibility that I feel that I have seriously to not continue the stereotypical and discriminating discourses. And so one, the authorship is crucial for me, considering the positionality as I consider mine. I consider the position of the authors. And as you see here, we have Tibui and Terry Farish and Tanha Lai. Two of the authors are refugees themselves. Tibui and Tanha Lai, they left Vietnam when they were young with their families. While Terry Farish is a writer. She's a writer. She's always been interested and involved in children and young adult literature, mostly about migration. And so, if we want to call it that way, so-called multicultural literature. All authors live in the US and their books are published in the US. I work also with texts from published in other countries, but tonight I'm discussing these texts. I can tell you a bit more about them. Just a quick bio. I think it's always, for me, it's fun. It gets me closer to the people I'm writing about and also to their books, getting to know also a bit about their stories. So Tibui is I'll show you later, but I can show you also now. She's the author of this book, and this is a graphic memoir. And so she writes about her her memories and her family history. Tanha Lai, on the far right there. Or left, is, I said that she leaves Vietnam with her family when she is a kid. And the novel that I'm going to read something from this evening is her debut novel in the genre of young adult and children's literature. And I told you, I think, already about Terry Farish. She has probably a broader list of titles. She has a longer career as a writer. But like, for me, it was important that, because she comes from another group, she's not a refugee herself, to consider also her position and the way she was writing about the characters. And as she mentions in the text, the end of the text, like, she did lots of research, for example, in order to be able to write the novel that she wrote. And that's sort of a methodology that she uses for all her text. Good. I have notes because otherwise I'm lost. I need this. Okay. Yes, there is one here. Okay. These are, I'm gonna introduce just three of them. So Inside Out and Back Again, The Good Brother and The Best We Could Do. If you're interested later, just ask me about Badawi and I can tell you more. All the books, as I said, are published in North America, and they belong to this genre of so-called refugee literature, and they are contemporary. Two of them, Inside Out and Back Again, and The Good Brother, are we could define them as novels in free verse. And I can show you here. For example, so in the page there's space for words, and there's also lots of white spaces left there by the authors. I can share also this one. Yeah, I hope you can see. Is it visible? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and. Each text is sort of a collection of short novels. So the story is divided in, poems. Each chapter is a poem itself. And this. While the third one by Bui is a graphic memoir, so we see clearly the use of words and images that is crucial in the text. But we'll go back to them in a minute. When I also selected the books for my work, I consider the positionality of the authors, like I told you. But also, I wanted the books to have in common also the subject of the story, and to be suitable for young adults. And I was looking for texts that had like this transnational narrative that focused on young refugee characters, possibly a first-person narrative, and their experiences in crossing geographical and also symbolic borders. What I think is crucial here is that these books represent the refugee as a subject, opposed to object, and the agency and the individuality of the unique subject. And also, the characters, they don't mention, they don't call themselves refugees. They use other words, and I can read you some parts. So, how I define these narratives, I define them as counter-narrative, narratives of resistance and agency. Okay. We can start with the Good Brother that follows the story of Viola, this teenage character, and her family from Sudan to Portland in Maine, in US. This is, like I said, a novel in free verse. It's a fictional story, and the poetic narration of Viola's struggle to bridge between the Sudanese culture and the American one, where she moves. In the end, she leaves Sudan with the mama, with the Mamena brother, but during their journey, just her mom and her, they survive. So it's just the two of them in Portland. And of course, the dynamics, with the relationship between mother and daughter goes from nicer to colder. There is distance. So a subject being in the borderland is what I've been discussing so far in my work. And how am I with time?
You decide.
I decide.
Yeah, we have good
time. Oh, God. I'd like to read a passage. I would love you to read, but I feel that we cannot. So I'm gonna read something. Let's see, I haven't chosen really, but okay, I'll read this. This is nice. This is from a poem, Roots. I think it's, I really wanted to read for you tonight, or with you tonight, because I think this is also the power of literature, like that brings us together for reading and thinking and just listening and imagining. So, outside, the yellow petals of Mayflowers lie like a curtain on the black top, and violet flowers, their color is almost like my name, bloom outside Marco's kitchen window. Their scent enters on the breeze. It is the saddest sweetness I have ever smelled. I scrub the pot with my good hand. I think this is the smell of America that will always, from today on, remind me of my grandmother. The smell says to me, Mata nasi tuwara, don't forget your roots. This is a poem that talks about, a novel in verse that talks about emotions, and the bonds are the main subject, I would say, of the entire story. And I think that the genre itself, the novel in free verse, really helps to convey this this idea that the authors have in mind to convey their emotions. We can read more later if you want. Okay, I'll go to Inside Out and Back Again. Other novel in verse from 2011, gleaning from the personal history of flight, her personal history of flight, the author, Lai, gives this poetic voice to, once again, emotions, memories, and again, the struggles that Ha, character, goes through when she and her family fled Saigon to Alabama in 1975. I'm gonna read, I can read the same passage that I shared with you here. Or maybe not. No, I read another one. Okay. Sorry, I couldn't find it. The poem, so Ha is already in Alabama, and she writes this. It's a sort of a diary. Like when you read it, it functions as a diary that she seems to write almost every day. She skips some days. And so this poem is entitled New Word a Day. So she's in this process of learning English. Mrs. Washington has her own rules. She makes me memorize one new word a day and practice it 10 times in conversation. For every new word that sticks to my brain, she gives me fruit in bite size, drowning in sweet white fluff, cookies with drops of chocolate small as rain, flat, round, pan-fried cakes floating in syrup. My vocabulary grows. She makes me learn rules I've never noticed, like A, N, and T, which act as little megaphones to tell the world whose English is still secondhand. The house is red, but we live in a house. A, N, and T do not exist in Vietnamese, and we understand each other just fine. Mrs. Washington says every language has annoyances and illogical rules, as well as sensible beauty. She has an answer for everything, just like mother. So this was me reading with my Italian accent, her writing of this language. That sounds weird. That sounds nice. It sounds weird at the beginning because all these essays, that sounds so many essays. And yeah, I'm glad I shared this one with you because in her stories, she shares her process of learning English and how she loved, she's super excited at the beginning, but she struggles also with the articles. She's extremely nice character. But also she goes through phases, of course, and of joy and excitement, but also hate. Like in this page I share here, her emotions are written on the page everywhere. And this is a great expression, if you ask me, of her voice. Okay, and then the last one for tonight. This. I decided to share this graphic memoir with you by Bowie because to me it's a bit special in the sense that I really like the use of color and graphics. And this author, she tells the story of herself first, and then she goes back in time telling the story of her father and her mother. But to explain the story of her mother and father, she has to go back even more in time, explaining the story of her grandfathers and grandmothers. So there are generations here, and for me it's extremely precious. This is the plot. So much happens, and it's not just words that speak here. Like it's the image that speaks in this part, in these two pages, for example. She's putting herself next to her father. A father that is represented by her as extremely vulnerable person who struggles adapting to the American society and gender roles that are different, and so she puts herself, she draws herself like a kid, imagining how hard it must have been, or like how much she needed him to be the adult, but he was behaving like a kid. It was like this very hard and vulnerable person, who was kid, who was though performing the role of the father. I think this is also an extremely poetic text in the form of a graphic memoir. And what Bui does is also really disrupting the narrative of the Vietnam War and the even the previous occupation, the French occupation in Indochina, as we may know it. Like, this is a she published in the U.S. and so she published in the U.S. disrupting a narrative, American narrative of the Vietnam War, and showing that there is a history of the individual, of a family, and of a nation that is completely different. Archives of families, of personal histories, national histories, memories are in these books. And to represent, yes, this counter-narrative of displacement. I'm just happy that I got a chance to read something with you tonight. And I think that, once again, like I said at the beginning, this is an honor to be here. And I'm so happy that this Migration Literature Week is happening. And that brings us together. And please come with questions and comments. I'd like this to be a conversation among all of us. Okay.
Very great. Thank you. Yes. Thank you for your very interesting and remarkable presentation. And I suggest that we take a break of 10 minutes. If you need water or something, drink and this. And then we will come back and there will be room for Q&A and some conversations in a very informal way, as Stella mentioned. Is that okay? Great. So we will have a short break and we'll be back. Thank you, everybody. Excellent.